Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're welcome to Baz and Andrew's bonus episode of House of Rugby here on Joe together with Guinness. Hello, Trimby.
Hi, Baz.
For the month of November, we're with Ireland playing Italy in Chicago and the Guinness series now back in Dublin, the Aviva. We're going out twice a week, you lucky feckers. So I'll be chatting to Conor Murray about the World Cup goals and injury comebacks and Leinster-Munster rivalry a little bit later. But I'd like to take this opportunity, Trimby, if it's okay, because Ireland are playing Italy in Chicago this weekend. I'd like to discuss what it was like for you playing against the All Blacks in Soldier Field a couple of years ago on that historic occasion for Ireland. Can you take us back to that time?
Yes, I can, Barry. It would be my pleasure to discuss the one and only time I beat the All Blacks.
There I was.
There were 14 other men on my team.
But what was it like? What was the stadium like playing in in the US? Is there a difference between, you know, playing the stadium over there?
Yeah, not just the stadium, not just the game. The whole week was incredible. The whole buzz, the atmosphere, the kind of expectation. That week, the Cubs won the World Series in baseball. Am I going to get into it like a baseball equivalent of the NFL tutorial we did last week?
What baseball?
So there was a real buzz about town. There was a parade and everything. And there was just a kind of the week built and it was new and fresh. Everybody was kind of, everybody was waking up, you know, early, going for coffees, getting the crack going. It felt like everybody was on the same page and everybody was excited about the challenge and excited about being in Chicago, and it just built and built. And then,
so it was almost like a welcome distraction, would you say it like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it just, we went out for dinner a couple of nights. It was just a really good week for the team to be together, to enjoy each other's company and to have obviously a big challenge at the end of the week. And don't get me wrong, we didn't expect to beat the All Blacks. But we thought we had as good a chance as we ever had. And if ever we were going to beat them, it was going to be that week. Because we just felt really comfortable with the boys around us, with our game plan. and our execution kind of reflected that, how ready we were. Mm. But then, so after the parade for the Cubs winning the World Series, then all the Irish came into town and that buzz kind of just switched. And it was like, okay, fellas, it's your turn to show off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, big occasion like Soldier Field and just everything being so new and so different about it, and then everything that came with the figure of eight for the Haka for Axel just added to this really special historical event. And it was honestly one of the most amazing weeks. And there'd be so many test matches I would have played that I wouldn't remember much about the preparation or the run up to the game. But because it was so unique, I just remember everything about it so well. And just look back with incredibly fond memories of the guys that I kind of shared that experience with.
You'll always have that.
Yeah. I think Ireland will beat the All Blacks again someday. And there'll be other teams that beat the All Blacks, other Irish teams that beat the All Blacks. But we were the only team to beat them the first time.
Yeah.
And we'll always have been the first team to beat the All Blacks. So that's something that I really cherish and something that means a lot to me, being a part of just such a special occasion. And it was amazing being part of it. It really was.
Can you remember anything particular from the game or any moments? Like I always assume that game would have been the hardest game you'll have ever played, the most exhausting, the most physical. Was it like that, first of all?
When you're playing the All Blacks, there's a real mental battle because so many teams have come up against it. Ireland, 2 years before we beat them, there was that game at Aviva when we were winning up until the last play of the game. And All Blacks do what they always do. They get back into the game and they won. They got the kick at the end. And then South Africa a couple of weeks ago, same thing. South Africa winning by 14 points or 12 points. New Zealand score two, converted tries at the end of the game. There's just a real mental battle that you have to keep playing against the All Blacks because they have the expectation they're going to get back into it. And Ireland and every other team in the world has the expectation that they're going to get their pants pulled down at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And if you try and kind of become a passenger or lock it down or just shut up shop and not play, just try and please take the phone off the hook, you know, let this be the result, then they'd do a job on you. And it looked like they were going to do that just after half time. Well, first of all, Nuolo scored after 5 minutes, and then a lot of us were thinking, okay, we've been here before, we're going to get hammered. Yeah. And then we got a foothold in the game, and we got the try off the mall. And then we just started playing, and it felt like we were kind of dictating the terms, and it was a really foreign feeling, to play in the All Blacks, feeling like you're in control. And it was, we just were going, right, well, don't change anything.
Don't stop.
Just keep doing what we're doing. Yeah. And then at halftime, we had that chat. I wasn't involved in the game at the Aviva when they scored in the last minute, but a lot of the guys were, obviously. And there was a lot of chat about that at halftime. Rory and Sexto in particular were saying, we have to keep playing. Please, lads, please keep playing. And it almost trick yourself into thinking you're behind, or you're not that you're chasing the game, but there's a desperation to keep doing what we're doing, because we were dominant. We were going so well.
And you have to play like that.
You have to keep doing it. And it's such an unusual
game.
Yeah, you have to play the way they play and beat them the way they're playing. But even despite all that chat at halftime, we still didn't do it. We still went into our shells a little bit.
Just back into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But then it was almost even more impressive that we kind of dug deep and then, you know, got back to an expansive, kind of accurate execution towards the end of the game. And then it wasn't that we hung on at the end. We were dominant at the end, and we took the game from them.
To go out and play and score, and Shaw scored that try.
No one does that against the All Blacks. So that's why it was so unique.
Yeah, hopefully now in the coming weeks, that's the kind of same attitude that they'll take, which I'm sure it is. I haven't been there before, and watching all those the Tri Nations this year, or the Championship down the Southern Hemisphere, that's the way South Africa beat them, is bringing that intensity to it, and Australia came close the weekend as well. So, it's incredible few weeks for Ireland, and as you heard Andrew say there, it's there's only one way to do it, and that's to play it. One lad who was with you in Chicago that night was Conor Murray. I had a chance to catch up with him recently when Pinergy teamed up with him as part of their hashtag WeAre16 campaign. And I started off with a question that I suppose would be a little bit alternative, because I'd be friends with Conor, so I was like, I can't just go ask him a normal question. Anyway, here's myself and Conor. Conor Murray, welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby.
Hello, Baz and Andrew.
This is like a different house, but it's nice, we're in the House of Rugby.
Okay.
All the same. Last time we spoke at depth, I don't know if you remember, was at a wedding in July.
Mm. Yes.
And I must say, your date that night.
Woo. You're on about my mum, aren't you?
Your mother.
She's
woman.
She's going to tune into this, she'd be delighted. She thought you were a bit strange.
I was staring a bit.
You kept looking at her. Like that, at the same table and everything.
I see where you get it from, man. I've seen your dad in Lycra as well. On the bike.
He's a fan of it,
He's got a nice set of pins as well. So.
What kind of show is this?
This is where we're at. But that night, I think I was trying to draw you out and get some scoops out of you. Not that I even knew we were doing this, but I was trying to talk to you about the World Cup, and I think I was like, you're going to win the World Cup.
You were giving me an emotional G-off talk.
I was drunk. You were driving.
It was like we were about to play the final, actually.
You
can do it.
Do you focus at all on the World Cup? Is that something you think about?
Definitely. I think, as we said it that night, that we're in such a good position with Ireland at the moment, and such good players, such good buzz about Irish rugby, and obviously the coaching staff goes with that too. And excited about the next time I get to meet up with Ireland. Obviously the World Cup is a while away and you think about that, but people said to us before, you'd love the World Cup to be next month now after we beat Australia, you know, you're on such a high. But I think this team will just continue to grow. You see like the new players that we bring in during the last season, and they just flourish in that environment, and you just want it to last for as long as it can. And then people talk about the World Cup at the end of it, and that's hugely exciting. I think you told us we could win it that night, and nothing has changed since we could. On our day we can beat anyone, and that's a weird thing I find saying that, because I've been in Irish squads that if you said something like that, you'd be kind of, people would tear you down straight away, whereas now you can do it, and you've probably proven it before, so why not say it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I think I'm going to put like $1,000 on Ireland to win the World Cup, so then I have like something to hold over you and beat you with.
You get good odds. So yeah, we want to see that slip as well. We want to see that bet slip.
Yeah, that's what Baz O'Mahony, a mutual friend of ours, former Munster player, he pulled me on it. He was like, if you believe they're going to win the World
Cup. Yeah, because you seemed really, really convinced that night. So
yeah, so I spoke to the lads at Joe and they were like, ooh, I don't know if that's something we should be encouraging.
Yeah.
But we'll
you'd never know, it could work out.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll do it on my own bat and say nothing. But yeah, I'll show you the slip.
Do, please, and don't just write it out. Yeah. Official slip, please.
I owe you a round. But yeah, I think you're right about the position we're in, and like if we have the same players coming through like we did last year, by next year, I mean, I know you're saying that's totally understandable, where if you played the World Cup in a month, what a good position we could be in. But God, when you think about the age profile of the players that we have at the moment, and how many more are going to come through as bolters, that must be very exciting for you as, I suppose, now a more senior player now,
yeah. And it's really enjoyable, though. It's really, really enjoyable to be in that group. You know, there's a certain amount of us who have been there for a while, and you know, the likes of James Ryan, Jordan Larmour, you know, you've Joey now, who are just used to winning. You know, obviously Leinster have gone really, really well, and the provinces are strong also, but you know, they're just used to winning, they know nothing else, so they come into Ireland and you know, they win the Grand Slam and they kind of just go, well, that was pretty cool, whereas you know, having been through not the slog of like, you've had a few bad days with Ireland and you know how much it means, but the more and more guys like that you can get in and mix it with that, you know, Bestie is obviously probably the oldest there and the most experienced, and you've Johnny and Pete and a few more, and mixed in with all those young guys. I think it's a really good, it's a balance you want in a squad. So someone like Tadhg Byrne, who's been incredible for a couple of years now and has been incredible with Munster, you can see someone like him adding even more to the squad. And you know, with November around the corner, whether I'm involved or not, probably not with the injury, I haven't not played yet, but you just know the squad's gonna flourish, and that's the frustrating, kind of sickening part of it, as you know, there's a potential for like a really big day ahead. Obviously, there's other games as well, but like against the All Blacks, you know they're going to be ready for you. You know that they'll have the performance, all geared up, and it's exciting as a fan. But then you know yourself as a player looking on when you're injured, it can be tough, especially when you know the team is gonna go well. You want them to win, but you know there's a bit of you that really wants to be there. It's a hard one to explain to people who don't play.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I spent enough of it. Wanting your opposite number or the person in your position.
He was really good, wasn't he?
Kind of be average, but the team to win. Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Exactly.
And what do you expect from the team for the autumn? Do you have any expectations in terms of how they should play or?
Yeah, more of the same. I think I think when we did so well in Australia and we won the test series down there, and we were a real tight unit and everything was kind of flowing, and then we haven't really been together. We've been one camp. Short camp, and now the lads will meet up next week and then they go straight to Italy, and the public will probably expect everything to flow as well as it did for the Six Nations when you're together for 8 weeks, and then Australia when you're just over 3 weeks together. So there's a lot of work we'll have to go in and Carlton House to get back to that level. But I think, like you said, the mix of older experienced players and the young guys that have been together now for a while, it shouldn't take that long to get back to that level. And hopefully we just kick on again, because New Zealand are still the number one team, and rightly so. And then South Africa probably closed the gap a little bit more with their performances. It sounds like a cliche, you'll have to be better than you were last year, but it's true, like that's why it's probably a cliche. So yeah, expecting big things, I suppose. Yeah.
And 2 years since that fateful night down over in Chicago when you beat the All Blacks, like, is that still, would that be the standout moment in your career so far?
Yeah, definitely. What a just a kind of a dream week, really, get to go to Chicago, and it almost felt the pressure was off because we were away from Ireland, and it was just, it had a weird feeling to it. But then Trimby talks about that game, how nervous he was, and how he found out, or he taught people to find out how crap he was at rugby. That's what he says. He said in the pro.
Yeah.
So people go through all different emotions. And so I remember being with Zeebs, the opposite end of the the spectrum and so relaxed. He's like, oh man, it's so sunny today. How cool is this? Yeah. And you're like,
but isn't that the way
it rubs
played?
Off on you? Yeah.
Isn't that the way he played that day? There was, you know, it was free flowing rugby. It was. And do you feel like that is the way to beat New Zealand? Like you have
attack.
To play with that attack and that openness. And even in the game, the 23, was it 23, 22, they beat you in the Aviva that time?
Oh, the late. Yeah.
Yeah,
we stopped playing.
That was probably the most expansive that Ireland had played to that date.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And do you feel like that's the way to
big
beat
time, because the Chicago game and the Aviva game, we got considerable leads, didn't we? We were ahead by quite a bit. So I think I've played them eight or nine times. And there's those two or three games that we've won with the Lions in the summer where we've won or we've had good results. It's attack them. It's play rugby, because it's much easier to have the ball in hand and attack them than it is to sit back and defend. Like they're incredible athletes, incredible rugby players, the best around. So if you don't attack them, it's going to be a really long, hard day for you. So that day we did, even though we got a shock because they scored early, we just went out. And it's part of our group that we've been together for so long now. We know what we're capable of. We know when we get the ball, we're able to attack teams and punish teams and cause teams problems. So I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
I suppose early on. Yeah, but I think when we've had good results against them, we've attacked them. We've confidence in our attack. We know we can cause teams problems. When we have the ball and we hold onto the ball, and our breakdown has been a really big standout aspect of our game for a long time, and we know we were confident in holding onto the ball, so that helped it. The fact that we've been together for a long time and we understand each other as a team and the ability as a team, we've no fear of holding onto the ball. Whereas probably in my early days playing in the Irish team, against big teams, you're kind of just hoping to get through the game nearly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that feeling where you're just, I hope, you know, it's a decent day, I play quite well and I get picked next week. You know, that's kind of the mindset. Whereas now it's every team we go out against, and you've heard me and players say it before, that we genuinely can win. So it's not, you're not really worried about selection next week, because it's about playing today and trying to beat who's in front of you. And then if that happens, then whatever else, the selection and all that thing will look after itself down the line.
Yeah, and I think the coaching obviously have a huge part of that, and Joe Schmidt and his team, and obviously the provinces as well, and the way they're playing, as you alluded to earlier on, the way Leinster are playing at the moment, the way the current Munster form and the two big weekends they've had in the Champions Cup, and Ulster starting to show a little bit of form as well.
Yeah.
And firstly, on Munster, congratulations on your four-year sign. Like,
it's great.
As a fan, delighted to have you back, and it clearly shows how happy, to me anyway, how happy you are in Limerick, in Munster, in Ireland. Would that be fair enough?
Yeah. Despite Siebes' best efforts, it was an easy decision, a really quick decision.
Yeah.
he was always on to me. He's like, you should see this, as if he's Neymar or something in Paris.
But it's great. Like, I always, when people would always say, the loyal guy will stay. And I think that's the wrong term, because that suggests that someone is
not loyal.
It's a personal decision that you want to go, and I can completely understand if someone would leave, if you were to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose it just shows, if you know, where you are in your life at that moment and how happy you are in Limerick.
Big time, yeah. Limerick's an unbelievable, like, born there, grew up there. It's a class city. I love living there, and then I get to play with my boyhood team, like, so that's in itself enough. But I think the fact that it was such an easy decision was, you know, Munster, and I've said it for years about, like, you know, we're on the brink of something, like, we're close, we're getting there after being in semi-finals. But this year, I always believe it anyway, but this year more so with the additions we've made, Joey, Tighe, Mike Haley, a few more guys coming in, Neely Cronin, Albie.
Yeah.
You know, there's quality and depth in our squad at the moment, and this squad has definitely learned from its tough days out, the semi-finals, which the older Munster teams had to go through too.
Yeah, I believe
It's just not a pity, it's just the fact that we're an Irish province, and Leinster are the dominant team in Europe at the moment, and we always kind of go off.
How is that for you?
Sitting there
looking at it must be frustrating.
It's frustrating, and I've good, like, with the Irish team now, you've genuine mates. I don't know what it was like before, but I've genuine mates on that team and play for Leinster, and you're happy for someone you're actually friends with.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd love it to be you, but we have to be realistic, and we weren't good enough. I remember the the Pro 14 semi-final in the RDS last year, I remember after the game we lost by, I think it was a couple of points by the end of it, but and it could have gone either way, but at the end of it I wasn't actually disappointed. I was like, we're actually, they're a better team than us. Like, yeah. And it's rare you feel like that. Oh, you'll always be like, oh, we should have scored a try there and that would have been it, but like, they're just a better team at the moment.
Yeah.
And we've been to semi-finals and two semi-finals last year, so we're not a million miles away. They were an English team and we were like the best team in Ireland, we'd be feeling a lot better, you know what I mean? It's a weird situation, but ultimately they drive you on to get better as a province and compete, and so close.
Absolutely.
And
I agree.
You know, the margin will seem way bigger when there's trophies lifted and you lose by a point in the semi-final.
Then it can turn like that in one game.
To remain confident.
Yeah, that's great to see the belief in for you as a senior player and signing for Munster and committing to that and saying all those things about the young players coming through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are other players like, you know, the Munster's Big Beans ambassador, Keith Earls, who, how is he doing?
Isn't that the funniest thing?
Yeah.
He's flying it and being flat out in the Hinds.
Okay. Well, I know you're more of a bachelor's boy yourself.
Yeah, I didn't really agree with his ambassador.
Likewise.
That guy will do anything.
I know.
Earls, he'll literally do anything.
He'd
go to the opening of an envelope, he would.
Yeah. And you've also got the scooter gang that it's good to see the senior players again leading by example.
You've got to mix it with everyone.
Yeah.
You've got to mix
There's
it.
There's four or five of you little electric scooters now.
It's actually so embarrassing driving around Castletroy.
It is. Like, we live, as the crow flies, probably a few hundred metres away from each other.
Yeah.
And Earls, he's the same. And then I'm dealing with the residents committee at the moment that are giving out about you.
They're saving the planet. We're doing our bit for the environment. They're
okay,
electric.
So you're like...
electric kind of... We're on that buzz at the moment,
And you're like Scooby-Doo gang going around solving mysteries and talking beans.
Talking beans with Earlsy,
That's enough beans talking for the time being. Thanks a million for coming in, Conor.
Cheers,
yeah, we'd love
Thank
to
you.
Have you on the show
Absolutely,
soon. Get Trimby on here to
get
be a
Trimby
weirdo.
Get Trimby to be make me feel awkward. Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
Happy days.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, bud.
Right.
Thank you.
So that was me and Conor Murray, and you can find out more about Pinergy hashtag #WeAre16 campaign on their Facebook page. So how'd you,
Barry? That was brilliant.
Thank you.
I think you've a lovely way of just putting the interviewee at ease
by talking about their mother and their father in Lycra.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect tone.
Can I do that with every interview?
You didn't bring up the injury that's been
all over
the press for the last week.
That would be just typical. I think everyone's been asking about that. So I said I'd let him off the hook. We all know at this stage that it's an unusual injury, and they're not quite sure. I knew we weren't going to go anywhere. I didn't want to get his back up.
The whole thing's a bit of a non-story. He had an injury and he didn't know when he was going to be back.
Exactly.
And I think whoever, him or Van Graan, whoever said kind of, it's like saying, being asked a question and saying no comment.
Yeah.
And you sound more suspicious. But there's nothing really there.
Doing that. Yeah, look, I think... he's in good form. I did talk to him off air, and he's pretty confident to be back very soon. I do think he'll be missed massively in the upcoming games, especially against the All Blacks. I think there's a question of whether we can beat the All Blacks without Conor Murray, which I suppose is something that we need to look at if we're going into the World Cup. You'll need someone to replace Sexton and Murray, I suppose, two of our biggest players, if for whatever reason they don't make one of the bigger games. And so it is no better time than to try that out, but...
yeah, whatever about his contribution, his kicking, his passing, his communication, all that stuff, and his leadership. But more kind of what's even more so than any of that is it's another player on the pitch who's been there and done it before and who's beat the All Blacks before.
Yeah.
Just that experience, it makes it just more realistic for his teammates.
Yeah.
They'll go, listen, a lot of guys here have done this, so we can do it again.
Yeah.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, well, that wraps things up. Thank you, everybody, for your comments and your questions, for listening and for watching us on YouTube. Don't forget also to subscribe, whatever platform you're on, and we'll pop up every week with our new show. Thank you, Trimby. Thank you to everyone back behind the scenes for making this show possible. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.